Yeah. I see we all made it, most of us. Well, it is Christmas morning. It is why we gather every Sunday to worship the Lord. And that's what we will do today, as we've already done through song, and going to share the word with you just a little bit here on this cold, usually December morning, but it is the day that we observe the birth of Christ, the coming of God's Son. Just let me remind you, if our way was working, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. So our way doesn't work. So we are sinners. This is what we are. It's who we are. We're thankful for God and His gift of salvation. It only comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. And what we see here today is that, we have looked over the last few weeks from the birth. We saw the birth. We talked about the angel Gabriel and all of them that was a part of that process. Talked about Joseph and Mary. We talked about the wise men. Talked about many characters that is a part of this story. But there's also two other individuals. It's a little bit, even after, a couple of days after, there's a couple of individuals that not mentioned much. And that's where we're going to be this morning. So if you have your Bibles in Luke chapter 2, that's where we're going. And I don't know if I'm the only one, but I feel like I'm just coughing and hacking off. Still, I can't get rid of it. But I don't know if you've pondered a little bit over this Christmas season about being thankful for what God has done for you. I hope that you have thought about the gift of salvation and how it has changed your life and how it has changed your future and how it is still changing you. Sometimes we can attend church for so long that our hearts, sometimes we get around, and sometimes our hearts can get hard. Sometimes we can get hard about things. And I think when we go back to the Christmas story, it can soften us up again a little bit. So we know that Jesus was born in that manger, in that barn scene, because they were told they had to go. Joseph and them had to go back and do the census thing that they had to do. And it was that night that Mary gave birth to Jesus. And the Bible says there was no room for him anywhere else. Not in an inn, no one's house, no hotels, no motels, but a barn. That's where he was born. The greatest gift that God's ever given was given straight out of a barn. Amazing, huh? But the story doesn't end right there. As we know, we have talked about the wise men who've come from far as the east, and that God chose foreigners to get down, to fall down on their knees and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is something that's happened between the time of Jesus' birth and the time of those wise men coming. I want to take it here to Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, when the 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. The name Jesus was given before. It wasn't given by Joseph. It wasn't given by Mary. It was given by heaven, given to Gabriel to tell Mary that that's what you are going to call God's Son, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And we see that here, God is man is following, Joseph is following the law. So here we see that 8 days this circumcision, after 8 days that they become, the males are circumcised. He's given the name of Jesus. And then in verse 22, when the days of purification according to the law of Moses were finished, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. What we here now see is purification. Now, purification is something we would just read right over, but it's 33 days after the circumcision. God made the law. God's going to follow the law. This is something that we just kind of blow over. But Jesus has not died up on the cross yet. He has not given his life on the cross. He is just being born into the world. And so there is law that's going to that he is going to maintain and going to do. And Joseph, as we remember, Joseph, the scripture says Joseph was a righteous man. And remember, we said that there were some other people in the Old Testament. Noah was found to be a righteous man. We see that Job was found to be a righteous man. But Joseph was also found to be a righteous man. Going to live the best life he can according to God's way. And here he is following the law. This is all set by Joseph moving his family. And Mary's right there with him, doing this thing with Jesus. Circumcision. Now, when the days of their purification was done. 33 days after the circumcision. A lot going on there. But what we see now is it says that they are going to dedicate Jesus to the Lord. Why? It's because that's what the law was. What's it say? It says every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord. Now we don't follow that. We don't follow the law today. Most of us, we just can't keep it. We just don't. That's why Jesus came. But these are good things to follow. Listen, I know all my boys, I've done this. I don't know if you've done this, but even with my wife, we prayed over our children when they were born. But then as a Christian man, I went off to my side and pleaded for my boys that they would come to know Christ, that they would be followers of Christ. And when they stepped out of the way, then I would be praying for them to have a heavy heart, to be convicted by the Holy Spirit, to get their lives right with Christ. What does that mean? What it means is, as a godly believer, and as the man is supposed to be head of the home, and I'm sure Carla had prayed on her own, but we had prayed together, but I know this. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to continue to pray. And that's what we're called to do. When you become a father, you're called to follow in the ways of the Lord. But also says he also, they are going to make a sacrifice according to what the law was stated. Man, I am having a hard time up here. But it was to sacrifice a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now here's where people get upset. They're saying, "Wait a minute, they're sacrificing animals to God. What kind of God is that? What kind of God is that? What kind of God is that would ask for the sacrificial of lives of animals?" You see, animals have a place and a purpose, just like we do. And I want to remind you that your place as a human being is not to succeed in all the ways that you think you need to succeed, but it is to follow the ways of the Lord. God created Adam and Eve to have a relationship with them, to take care of the garden, and have life, but to do life with God. The world has chosen to do life without God. And where is that getting us? There's so much evil in the world. So much evil in the world. And it doesn't take long that you can begin to think in your own mind that you might have also some evil or sinful thoughts. Because we all do. We all do. If you say you have no sin, the Bible says that you're a liar. We all sin. That's why Jesus came. And we have to get to that place where once we begin to understand who we really are and why God created us and why Jesus came, it makes life a little bit easier how to live. So these turtle doves or these two pigeons that were sacrificed was how God did. That's how what they did back then in the Old Testament. That's what they did. They sacrificed animals for the forgiveness of sin and for purification, all kinds of things. But that's why Jesus came, to become that ultimate sacrifice that all sacrifices can be done with. And sacrifices are done with now. It's kind of funny that even with the Jews, they don't do sacrifices anymore. Many of them don't believe in Jesus, but they don't do the sacrifices like they did. So Joseph and Mary are doing what they're supposed to do. They are bringing their firstborn, dedicating him to the Lord. They're doing the sacrifice piece that they're called to do. But there's these two more characters that we have not talked about, what we're going to land on today. They're doing their part. And then he goes to verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This was a righteous. Now, that's one thing you're going to start seeing. You get into the Christmas story, you keep seeing the word righteous. God could not pick perfect people because there were no perfect people. But he picked people who were righteous, who were morally trying to live their life right, who were doing things the way that God wanted them to do. Didn't mean they were sinless, but it means they were doing what they could do before the Lord. And the Bible says that they were righteous. It says, this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what the customary was under the law. So what we see here now is we see this guy named Simeon. He's a guy that's going to take care of some things there. This priest is going to take care of these things that need to be done. But the Scripture says he was righteous and he was a devout man. Let me tell you, the Bible knows exactly who you are. He knows who you are and what you've done. Don't call yourself righteous. Let the Lord do it. Because then you can become self-righteous. Let the Lord put those words out. But God knows who you are. God knows exactly where you are. But what we see here is something that we don't see too much in the Old Testament, even though this is part of the New Testament. We don't see the word Holy Spirit a whole lot until you get into Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit coming, and you see it in the beginning in Acts chapter 2, and then it just, Holy Spirit's all over the place. But here we don't see it too much. We see from time to time, we'll see someone that has the Holy Spirit. This is an individual that has the Holy Spirit. This reminds me of this. There's more going on than what you can see. If you step back and we go back and we see that Mary is pregnant, they're traveling to Bethlehem with Joseph, and they're going to do this census thing. But all along, there's this other individual that's filled with the Holy Spirit. He has the Holy Spirit. And if we did not have this piece here, we would have never known that God made a promise, the Holy Spirit made a promise to this man, that he would see the Messiah before his death. That's a pretty strong piece. And so here we see that he was guided by the Spirit, and he entered the temple. And when the parents brought him, this is what he said, Simeon took him up in his arms, and he praised God. So they handed Jesus over to Simeon, and he lifts him up. And this is what he says. Now, Master, he's talking to God. Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace, as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel. Here we find in this little piece here, the first time that we see that Jesus being lifted up, but yet called as the salvation of the world. The salvation of the world. Lifting him up as a baby. But Simeon seeing him more than that, seeing him as a salvation. As Simeon saying, you can take me now, Lord. You made a promise. I've seen your salvation. You can let me rest. You, basically, I can die now. Wow. That I see what other people live for. I just got to get a bigger house. I've got to get a bigger business. I've got to do this. I need to do these things. I need to do that. But this man says, I know that you're going to let me see. This is it. This is my pinnacle of life. That I see the salvation of the Lord before I die. I think the world would say, let me see a new position. Let me see a new company. Let me see a bigger company. Let me see a bigger inheritance for my family. But a believer might say, let me see the salvation for my children, that they might come to the Lord. Or, Lord, let me see that my father, my mother may come to the Lord in my lifetime. Lord, let me see that my wife or my husband may come to the Lord in my lifetime. those are the righteous prayers that are not all selfish, but actually salvation for someone else. The world is all about yourself, and all about you. God is about, once you experience salvation, once you experience it, it's not just for you to just keep inside, but to share it. And it's a light for the Gentiles. That would be us. Hope. And he says, his father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. This is a young couple. This is all new to them. Then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed. And a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Basically, this baby Jesus is going to cause problems in the world. It's going to divide. People are going to have to make a choice. Let me tell you, if you have Jesus Christ in your life right now and you have salvation, you made a choice. If you choose to stand off to the side and says, I'm not ready, you're still making a choice. You all, every day we make choices. And so we see this piece here. It says, and the sword will pierce your own soul. Well, we see that her own soul is pierced when we see when she sees her son upon the cross. For what mother's soul would not be pierced, would not be torn apart, seeing her own son in such agony, in pain and suffering. So Jesus being this great gift to the world, to Mary and Joseph, they're going to raise him up. And there'll be one more segment. We're not going to today, but you'll see one more segment when he's 12 years old, and then there's his silent years. But to see all of this coming into their life that they're carrying and taking care of the gift, they didn't understand it all. But that salvation gift only comes through Christ. But even with that, it wasn't over. You see, I believe that even on the night that Jesus was born, the angels found these shepherds and said, wow, somebody needs to come over and see what's going on. And when the wise men came, the magi came, and they finally found Jesus in a house. And they ended up falling on their knees as soon as they came into the house, and they just worshipped him. And here we find Simeon here. Yes, this great peace, this prophetic peace for him, for his own self has come to be. And now they've done all that they were going to do with the sacrifice and with dedicating him there, the circumcision and all of that. There's still yet another one. And verse 36, it says, there was also a prophetess, Anna, of the tribe of Asher. She was well along in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. So she was together with her husband for 7 years. And verse 37 says, and was a widow for 84 years. She did not leave the temple, serving God night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began to thank God and to speak about him to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, when we read that, it looks like just like a history piece, but I think there's more into that. You see, she was married to her husband, and he died 7 years later. And so she had that married life for 7 years, and then she became a widow. And for 84 years, she was serving in the temple, staying close to God with prayers and fasting. Not everyone can do that. But what does that mean? God revealed to her what was going on. Sometimes when you're living the way God wants you to live and you're following in His ways and in His will, what happens is God gives you glimpses of things that other people don't see. God gives you glimpses of things that you don't see. When you stay focused on your own problems, those become bigger, and sometimes we miss what God has for us right in front of us. But when you keep God in your life and you are being faithful and you're being committed to God on your on an everyday basis, you're going to be in tune with the things that are of the Spirit. You're going to be in tune of the things of God. And you're going to hear and you're going to see things that other people are just going to miss. I think this is just a piece that God gave to us and said, this is what faithful people, they get to see. They get to notice things. And then it goes down to verse 39. And when they had completed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And this says, the boy grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom, and God's grace was on him. And then we begin to see silent years. We do see the thing at 12 years old. And then we see the silent years. But every year his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover feast and the festival every year. They were faithful. They were faithful. Today you're here because you're faithful. Not, I don't say you can be faithful to the church. That's great. But you're here today not because of really the church. You're here today because of your relationship with Christ. You're here today because you want to be around others that have that same peace that is in common to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christmas is all filled up with colors and presents and all the good things. And those are the good things. It's all there to praise God. And He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of worship. But it all came to be because man has a problem. We have this thing called sin. We have this thing called sin in our life that separates us from God. Jesus was given to us as a gift. And a gift is not yours, even if somebody hands you the gift, it is not yours until you reach out and take it. And to reach out and take it, once you take it, then it's your gift. In my conversations with sharing the gift, which is the gospel, the story of Jesus Christ, his birth, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, so many people want to say, well, what do I have to do? It's already been paid for. What do I have to do with this gift? If I take the gift, what's my... We want to add and we want to throw stuff on it. We make it complicated. It's not complicated at all. Jesus did the hard part. He left heaven, a perfect place, to get inside of a mortal body. Imagine being walking around the whole world and no one is good except you. And even when he was told that he was good, he said, no one's good. The gift of salvation is the most amazing gift ever. It still works. When you share it with someone else as a believer, you share it with someone else and they take that, the lives are changed not just in that moment, but they're changed eternally. Without Jesus Christ, your name would not be written in the Lamb's book of what? All right, you all knew that. I can tell you, I believe my name is written in there this morning, not because I'm righteous, but because I have Jesus Christ. That's the only way. I always think about the Lamb's Book of Life at Christmas for some reason. Because I just know this. God gave us Jesus Christ because He loves us so much. Jesus came and He died for us. He received the gift of salvation, that is Jesus Christ. But God is one of those ones, some of you probably done this weekend. You buy a gift for someone and you can't help it because you love them so much, you just go buy another one. And then the next thing you know, you buy another one, and you do another one, you do another one, and you got your family, but there's one that you just keep giving to. Usually it's your spouse. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But here it is. You find yourself, you just love to give. You love to give. Some of you are just givers. Some of us are receivers. But some just love to give, give, and give, and give, and give. Well, let me tell you, no matter what, let me just show hands. How many of you are just big givers? Okay, great. Good for you. Now I want to share one thing with you. If you give, 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 that's great. But you will never outgive God. Because here's what I know. God just keeps on giving. When you become a believer in Christ, He just keeps on giving. Oh, you come to the place where you knew you were a sinner. You needed Jesus Christ. You received Christ. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have eternal life. But He doesn't stop. Holy Spirit gives you at least one awesome spiritual gift. God starts moving you in some areas. You start praying. He starts answering your prayers. And I think that's a gift, that God answers prayers. That's a gift. That's a gift. Been in some pretty tough situations where God has made a way. And you begin to see through your whole life, from the time that you came to Christ, you begin to see that He's been there every moment since the day of your salvation. Now, He knows all the lost people too. But when you come to Christ, God says you're a part of His family. And He just keeps on giving and giving and giving. And you know what is most amazing out of all of that giving after us is this. It's not something that you get tangibly. It's when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. And He gives you forgiveness. You know what that feels like? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. There's so much that comes with the package of Jesus that we can't even share it all. Folks, there's some things in my life that you'll never know that I'm so thankful Jesus forgave me of. And I bet you, the ones that are believers, you have some things in your life you're so thankful that Jesus forgave you of it. And then God calls you to do something in ministry of some sort. Doesn't matter what it is. Taking care of babies in the nursery. Preaching, teaching, cleaning sidewalks. It's all a privilege. If you clean sidewalks on a Sunday morning or Wednesday morning at the church and you're shoveling down at the mill ministry or even at the houses and nobody else has it and you're doing it, I'm telling you, God sees that. God sees that. Other people making million-dollar deals. God sees somebody with a shovel. Shovel in one of His ministry homes. This, if it's not got anything God connected to it, it's just, it's of the world. And the world will do whatever it needs to do over there, whatever it may be. But in the end, it gets all burnt up. But what a person does over here for the Lord, the Scriptures says that there are eternal treasures that are forever. That God blesses us. And I've heard even some preachers, I've even heard some people by their own mouth says, well, I want my treasures now. Oof. You know what? Never say to the giver what you need, what you want in the world. It doesn't make sense. But when you talk to Him, He'll know what's real, what you need. I will tell you this today. Without Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be here. Without the birth of Christ, I wouldn't be here. But I can also make the same promise, without the birth of Christ, you wouldn't be here. Your lives, some of your lives were really messed up. But then when Jesus came in your life, He began to turn your life around. Began to turn your life around into a direction that is pleasing to Him. And you know what? We're not completely there yet. We're still a person that God is still working with. And He has a lot of patience. Because I know He's worked with me. I know He's worked with Bob. I know He's worked with Carla. I know He's worked with Mike. I know He's worked with all of us. And God has patience. I am thankful for the story that didn't stop I'm thankful that the Christmas story did not stop at the manger, but that we have this story here, even on this part where he brought, where they brought Jesus into the temple and did the things that they were called to do. And yet even in that, a great testimony from Simeon begins to rise up, that he's filled with the Holy Spirit, that he says, I've been waiting for this day. And Anna, a prophetess, being able to glorify God, that she was a part of seeing that and witnessing that. You know, nothing is more glorious than seeing someone come to Jesus. Amen? I'd love to see when the baptism waters are stirred. It's Jesus doing work. Now, sometimes we have the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have the Holy Spirit because we have the, you know, when we have the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus in our life. We got those things. Sometimes we get to a place where we begin to drift away. We begin to that slow drift. You know, the world doesn't know what that feels like, but a believer does. You know what that, you know what the believer feels? It's conviction that you're not where you need to be. You're not where you need to be. And the conviction of a saved person is different than the conviction of a lost person. Conviction of a lost person comes to the point, it's just a lot of times it's emotions of how they're feeling and those things, until God gets involved and says, the Holy Spirit says, it's time for you. You need to come to me. And there's a difference than come to me. And when the Holy Spirit over here says, it's time to come home. Any person that is saved, has been drifting from Christ, knows what it means. It's time to come home. Mary and Joseph was in Bethlehem, but they also had to go home. Home was Nazareth. We'll raise them up in Nazareth. Sometimes you got to do what God's called you to do. And it's not always easy. Without Christmas, there is no Easter. Without Christmas, there is no salvation. And without Christmas, there is no church. We need to thank God today for this day that we celebrate Christmas. The coming of the Savior, the coming of the Son of God, who is the sacrifice. No more turtle doves, no more lambs, no more ox, none of those. One sacrifice, one perfection, for the redemption of all mankind. All you have to do is say, I believe. Trust in him and let him be, become the Lord of your life. I want to ask you to go ahead. We're going to stand this morning.